You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Ready to go for a brand new week. It is a Monday edition of the Gym Class coming your way here on Eastern Iowa's home for sports, 1600 ESPN. Great to have you aboard, Scott Unash, joined by former Gazette sports editor Mark Dukes, coming up in just a moment. Isaac Elzing on the other side of the glass, our producer. Got a good show for you as we wrap up the weekend in sports. A lot of football to discuss. College football, Big Ten and Big 12 and around the country. A little bit of the NFL as well. And some other events and things that took place over the weekend. Love to hear from you on the text line, 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. And if you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call, that is also available. That is also 319-366-1600. As we come your way on this Monday, 1600 AM, as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. As always, if you'd like to go back and listen to any of our shows, you can do so by going to our website at kgymradio.com. You can also go to Apple or Spotify. And Mark, a pleasant good afternoon. I hope you had a great weekend.
I did. You as well, Scott and Isaac and everyone out there. And I'm totally ready for another reaction Monday, or maybe overreaction. We'll see.
It's never underreaction, is it?
No.
Not since we've been doing this for lo these many years has it ever been an underreaction Monday. That is for sure. Hi, Isaac. How are you?
I'm doing all right. It was a pretty solid weekend. Had some fun, well, some interesting soccer matches going on. So
you had the soccer part of things nailed down.
Yes, I did. I had a couple of bets out there that all hit, so that was pretty fun to watch.
Oh, we'll get to that. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you have much to say about that right now.
We will get to that coming up in just a little bit. We'll also have an Eagles Hideaway scoreboard update for you, and we will have the winner of the pick six at that particular time coming up later on. 319-366-1600. That is the text line. That is the phone line as well. Hawks a winner. Cyclones a big winner. Panthers not so much as they fell in the Hawaiian Islands. Before we get to that, though, Mark, we do have some breaking news coming down the line. Depending on who you listen to or read, CBS Sports, about 15 minutes to 30 minutes ago, reported that Gonzaga is going to be a new member of the Pac-12. While they did not join the Pac-12 when it was, as we know it, the Pac-12, now apparently after the door has been opened once again, they are going to take advantage of it, even though they are not a football school. Keep that in mind. Sounds like they will join in all sports except for football. That is the CBS Sports Report. Bleacher Report, coming up just past the top of the hour, reneged that, saying that it is not a done deal as of yet with Gonzaga. So I guess it really depends on who you follow, Mark.
Yeah, most of what I've read have the writers have rebuffed that, saying that it may happen, but it hasn't yet. Nicole Arbach, who is really on top of college sports, as is Brett McMurphy, who busted this story. But it apparently is not a done deal yet, but talks have been engaged between Gonzaga and the Pac-12, and it would be an interesting development, leaving the West Coast Conference after lo these many years. And also, four members of the AAC say they're staying. They're not going anywhere.
For the moment. For the moment, I'll say that. That would be Memphis, Tulane, Texas, San Antonio, and South Florida are the four schools you refer to. They are not joining Oregon State, Washington State, Boise State, San Diego State, Fresno State, and Colorado State. Can we find another state school here? I think we need to do that. Listen, if the money is right, Mark, they're going to change their minds. And could it be a situation right now where they're just kind of holding out, seeing exactly what kind of a deal could come down the line as far as the new Pac-12 is concerned? To me, anyway, yeah, I know that is kind of being the waiting for the, I don't know. I really don't know how to put it, but in this day and age of money basically driving the engine on everything, that's what I'm thinking.
Well, I think it's going to have a lot to do with how television contracts
yes.
develop for all the different leagues.
Correct.
That's going to be a big driver, I think. And also, Air Force says it's staying in the Mountain West, and it's not going anywhere either for now.
For now. Yeah, and they were being rumored to go and join Army and Navy and be in the same conference with Army and Navy for the first time ever. So apparently those rumors out there are not going to come to fruition. The Pac-12 is going to get two more schools. Can UNLV just get it done with and say they're going to go to the Pac-12? Because that's going to be the next school coming down the line. And to me, it would make major sense for Vegas to go to the Pac-12. I mean, the Pac-12 already holds all their championships in Las Vegas. Why not just bring in the Running Rebels?
Yeah, and it makes sense for the Pac-12 to embrace UNLV, in my mind. And, yes, the Pac-12 will add two teams because it needs two teams to become a viable FBS conference.
5284 on the text line. The Pac-12 should invite South Dakota State and North Dakota State. I think that would be a better fit. Maybe. I don't think they are their top two choices because there's not a lot of television sets, Isaac, in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I like Sioux Falls. I've been there many times. There are just not a lot of television sets.
I also think those schools like being the big fish in a little pond right now. Like, I think they're very comfortable with where they are, both South Dakota State and North Dakota State.
I think that I could see them Mountain West bound more than I can see them Pac-12 bound. With the Montanas. I mean, if they bring them in as a package deal, I think I could see that coming down the line. But that's only if, like, a UNLV leaves. New Mexico? Decent for basketball or football program is just ugh right now. I'm not sure if the Pac-12 wants them, but beggars can't be choosers if it comes down to it. And they wanted Tulane. They wanted Memphis. Apparently, they're not going to get Memphis. And Tulane. 2757 says if they add Vegas, the Nevada Board of Regents will require them to take Nevada Reno as well. Stevie back in the Pac-12? Can we dream? It worked so well at UCLA. They're not done. The deck chairs are not done rearranging here, Mark.
No, they're not, and none of this is a certainty, so I guess we're just spitting into the wind a little bit here and speculating.
That we are. 319-366-1600. Keep the text rolling in here as we get to 313, and let's take a look back at the weekend in college football in the state of Iowa. And for Iowa and Iowa State, it was a good one. Hawkeyes with a second half like we have not seen in a while, a dominating second half on Saturday night up in Minneapolis. The Hawkeyes coming from a halftime deficit and beating the Minnesota Golden Gophers 31-14, shutting out Minnesota 24-0 in the second half, holding the Gophers under 100 yards in the second half of total offense. And there was little doubt through the fourth quarter, Mark. The only doubt was, how is Iowa going to cross the football field and go retrieve Floyd to take him back south on the Avenue of the Saints?
And it was a cool way to do it, I thought, forming the swarm. And then at the last minute, Yaya Black rushing to go get the pig. And I thought that was cool. But we've been incessantly talking about Iowa playing only a half of football through three games, the equivalent of a game and a half. And I would make the argument that Iowa played three quarters in this game, even though it was a little uncertain at halftime, because Minnesota had a terrific second quarter and Iowa did not. That's all Minnesota did. Minnesota had two drives in the second quarter, took a 14-7 halftime lead, and that's all Minnesota did. You look at the drive charts, they did nothing aside from what they did in the second quarter. And what they did in the second quarter, Brosmer, the quarterback, was hot. I think he passed for 118 yards in that second quarter alone. But that was it. And whatever adjustments Iowa made at halftime, whether it was mental or physical or a little bit of both, certainly worked. The rushing game was obvious with Caleb Johnson, and Jazz Patterson was terrific, I thought, too. The punting game with Dakin, almost 50 yards of kick, three inside the 20-yard line. The defense was suffocating in the second half. And if you want to complain about Cade McNamara, go ahead. And two wide receiver catches the whole game. But I think, folks, it's time to stop thinking about Cade McNamara as being the quarterback savior. And rather think of him as
game manager.
A game manager.
Oh, Mark.
Game manager. Every quarterback is a game manager. But this, truest sense of the word, I think Cade McNamara should be thought of as that quarterback who's not going to pass for gaudy statistics for a variety of reasons. Because of him, because Iowa doesn't have any deep threats, because the offensive line is somewhat inconsistent in protecting him. A variety of things going into the quarterback play. I think it's time for Iowa fans to stop expecting too much out of Cade McNamara, because he's not that guy. And he is, I think, the truest sense of the word, should be thought of as a game manager, a guy who will pass a little bit. How about that first play of the second half? It was a great call. It wasn't a deep ball by any means, but it loosened up Minnesota's defense, and that was probably on Tim Lester more than McNamara. But it's those types of things that I think we should expect from Cade McNamara, and not a 350-yard game.
I couldn't have said it any better. Could not have said it any better. 319-366-1600. Now, there are going to be times when Iowa is going to need to throw the ball downfield. They have not shown the ability to do so. They haven't even shown the ability to try it. They didn't need to in the second half, though. Give Tim Lester an A-plus for play calling, because, you know, if you're taking the best-looking girl to the dance and all things are going well, you know, why leave her in the middle of the dance? And that's what Tim Lester was doing on Saturday night. Iowa was running through Minnesota like a hot knife through butter. Why stop doing that? And it didn't matter if it was Caleb Johnson, who was the Big Ten Player of the Week, Offensive Big Ten Player of the Week. I'm sure Mark will get to that on the scoreboard a little bit more in depth. But he was terrific. Jazz Patterson was very, very good. And those two guys carried the ball basically, other than a couple of jet sweeps, 39 times, and all 39 times. We did not see the other two backs in the ball game on Saturday night. But go with the hot hand. That is exactly what Tim Lester and Kirk Ferentz did. Now, with that being said, David from Hudson says the Hawks do have to get a passing game, and does anyone know why Caleb Brown isn't playing? Well, he did play. He had one target on Saturday. I think at this point, Mark, Caleb Brown's just not one of the three best receivers in the Iowa football team.
No, it's clearly Jacob Gill is the top wide receiver, and you can take your pick from there, from Van Der Zee or the kid out of Williamsburg.
Weijen.
Iowa doesn't have a Daniel Jackson, folks, which Minnesota had. That guy's a terrific receiver. And they just don't have or have demonstrated, either because of ability or route running schemes, whatever it may be, Iowa doesn't have that. They don't have an intermediate to long passing game. Probably because McNamara isn't capable of that. But the receivers got to do their part too, and some people forget that aspect of it. Does Iowa have a Daniel Jackson, Scott?
No.
No.
Not at the moment. Not at the moment. Hawks got two turnovers, two big turnovers, including one by Cedar Rapids Xavier grad Quinn Schulte, which 1156 notes had to laugh when Xavier Wampa at 6'2", 215 ran up and put a block on the Gophers' 6'6", 330-pound offensive lineman when Schulte was returning the pick. He did, and did so successfully. 319-366-1600. Iowa Minnesota talk as the Hawks go to 3-1. Minnesota falls to 2-2. Hawkeyes off this week, and they will prepare for the Ohio State Buckeyes coming up in a couple of weeks. That game time has been set. That will be a CBS national game once again with Nestler and Danielson from the Shoe. That will be a 2:37 kickoff on CBS a week from Saturday. So make your plans accordingly.
And Faye, I don't think people should get used to Caleb Johnson running for 100 yards every game. It would be nice if he had a Sean Green type year, Sean Green doing so every game over 100 yards in 2008. But you can bet on October 5th in Columbus, Ohio State knows Caleb Johnson is the top running back in the country. And if Ohio State lacks any motivation at all, the defensive unit is going to want to prove itself against the nation's number one rusher. And some people have Caleb Johnson in the NFL already. Oh, this was last year. He's gone. Hey, folks, he's had four great games, no question about it. Let's tap the brakes a little bit.
Pump the brakes.
I'm not trying to be a naysayer by any means, because Caleb Johnson and that rushing game is a breath of fresh air compared to the last 2 years. There's no question about it. He is strong. He's elusive. He breaks tackles. He's a terrific ball carrier. If he does this throughout the whole year, Iowa's going to have a great season. Not great, very good season.
We have all kinds, all over the board, of texts coming in as far as Cade McNamara is concerned. About 50-50, ranging from he should go into the transfer portal now to if the wide receivers catch the ball, his stats are going to look a lot better at this point. All over the board. And I guess it does show that even off a win like Iowa got, if you were a Hawkeye fan, that there is still, you know, everything is not rainbows and bunnies at this particular time. 319-366-1600 at 323. Isaac, good. Where would you grade Cade McNamara from Saturday night?
On Saturday, I don't think he was terrible. I don't know, like a C, I guess, C minus. The stats aren't great, but he didn't make a super big mistake, I guess, is the real positive. He didn't make that throw where you're like, what are you even thinking?
Like Brosmer did.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's, for Cade, I think that's a C minus, because he has a tendency sometimes to maybe overestimate where he can place balls, how strong his arm is, and I think he operated within the offense very well. That's how I'll put it.
Game manager?
Sure, you can say he managed the game well. I mean, it's easy to be a game manager when you just turn around and hand it off to one of your running backs and they get 5 or 6 yards.
True. Offensive line was very, very good. They continue to run block with great success. And like you said, Mark, it's still the verdict is still out there as far as their pass protection is concerned on a consistent basis. And I think that also plays a little bit into a lot, to be honest with you, into Tim Lester's play calling, knowing that he's probably not going to be able to drop Cade McNamara back for 5 or 6 seconds, get receivers open, and keep him from being planted onto his backside. Just my observations so far through the first four games.
Well, this was a Minnesota defense that we talked about on all our local programming leading up to the game. We talked to Mike Grimm, the voice of the Gophers, and he talked about the defense. This was supposed to be a pretty good Minnesota defense that had shut out its two previous, albeit inferior, opponents, and Iowa shredded it, especially on the rushing part of the game. But Ohio State's going to be a different animal, obviously. And I think another thing to keep in mind with McNamara is I'm not far from anointing him as the next Peyton Manning. Don't get me wrong. But compared to when he was at Michigan, he doesn't have the health. He doesn't have the receivers that Michigan had. He doesn't have the offensive line that Michigan had, right on down the line. And we saw that when J.J. McCarthy took over from McNamara and led Michigan to the national championship. A lot of things are not the same. Just because McNamara came from Michigan, well, he's automatically going to be great. That doesn't translate. That's why I say I think it's important to lower the expectations of McNamara. And as one of the texters say, it's a far cry from Deacon Hill last year.
0-4 Utah Tech, by the way. 319-366-1600. Corey Nurbana, as an Iowa fan, I've become fairly used to watching mediocre to less than stellar quarterback play. It seems as though it's been some time since his offense has been explosive and fun to watch. True, to a certain extent, I, as an old school guy, like to watch good line play and running backs gouging defenses. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, Mark. That's just a different way to move the ball.
It is. And this is the type of game that Kirk Ferentz loves, especially in the second half, running the football, playing defense, playing field position. That's textbook Kirk Ferentz football, and other coaches as well, but especially Kirk Ferentz. And while it worked this game, doesn't mean it's going to work down the road against the rest of the competition. Text coming in, 2291, to have a good passing game, you need three things: running game, a quarterback, and good receivers. We lack receivers. Expect 200 yards passing very few times.
If you can just compliment, just let the defense know you can still throw the ball and run it as well as Iowa does against most opponents. Now, I'm not going to say that's going to happen in 2 weeks in Columbus in the Shoe against Ohio State. You're going to have to show a little bit of a passing game because I don't see Caleb Johnson going for 200, but you never know. Woodshed on the road could happen. I doubt it, but hey, we never thought Woodshed number one was going to happen in Iowa City. Jason in Nebraska. My question is, where is that nice tight end pass play over the middle? I'm giddy with the running game, but it feels like the tight ends need to get more involved. That has been a little bit of a mystery to me. Luke Lachey, Ostrenga, Iowa's got a good tight end room. Are they just paying extra close attention to the tight end position? Like you said, the start the second half, Mark, that was a heck of a play that Iowa ran to a tight end. Don't need to necessarily go downfield all the time, but if you can get them on an island, either Lachey or Ostrenga, you know, the good things are going to happen.
Tight ends had 7 catches in this game for Iowa, if you include Hayden Large. who's now the author of the Large Tush Push. seven catches for tight ends and two for wide receivers. But none of them, you know, only a couple went for significant yardage.
Floyd came back home, says Justin. Good for Iowa, although I still have my doubts. Second half was Tom Osborne of Nebraska. Was to Tom Osborne, Nebraska. Listen, Michigan won a national title last year basically doing this. I'm not saying I was going to win a national title. Don't read into that statement. But yes, J.J. McCarthy was pretty good. And when they threw to complement the running game, they threw the ball much deeper than Iowa did and will do. But look what Michigan did Saturday to USC. Orji threw for what, 50 yards?
32 yards passing.
32 yards.
Yeah.
You can win football games running the football. I don't know if you can beat Ohio State on the road running the football exclusively, but you can win football games, and a vast majority of them running the football. 319-366-1600. Love to hear from you out there as we continue to break down Iowa and Minnesota. We'll talk about the rest of the Big Ten. We'll talk about Iowa State. See what happens when you kick off at 1 o'clock. Good things happen. And boy, a lot of good things happen with the running. Another running game performance extravaganza for the Iowa State Cyclones. We will get to that coming up and a little bit more about the Iowa-Minnesota game, but we need to get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway and First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. Also the sponsor of our Pick 6, which we need to acknowledge, Mark, not only because a certain person won it, finally, but just because somebody out there got a $30 gift card.
Well, Scott was the weekly winner in our Pick 6, going 5-1. Spencer 4-2, and Dave and myself, we're both 3-3. Spencer has taken over the season lead, and we'll give Isaac time here to locate the winner. Also on the scoreboard today, RIP to Mercury Morris, who died over the weekend at age 77. He was, of course, a member of that 1972 Miami Dolphins undefeated team in a backfield that included Jim Kick and Larry Zonka. Made a great career out of West Texas State University. Iowa State's kickoff time against Baylor, October 5th. You mentioned Iowa's at Ohio State. Iowa State will host Baylor on the 5th, 6:30 on Fox. Cincinnati Reds have fired David Bell after 6 years as manager. The last week of the season will be managed on an interim basis by Freddie Benavidez, who had played for the Cedar Rapids Reds in 1987 and 88. And finally, Scott, it's musical chairs in Class 5A Iowa High School football as the number one team lost for the fourth straight week. Southeast Polk defeating number one Ankeny Centennial, and number two Waukee fell to West Des Moines Valley, which is now your number one in the Gazette poll voted on by Gazette writers and yourself. I think you voted for Dowling.
I voted for Dowling because Dowling beat Valley. That's why. They're all pretty good.
Dowling had more first place votes than Valley, but Valley is your number one team right now.
And who is the who had the foresight to hitch the, or maybe, I don't know, Isaac, maybe I was last.
You're not last. That was Mark, who was last.
I was second to last, wasn't I?
You were third. Yeah. Yes. But congratulations to John, who I will call right now to grab some info from.
John, thank you for having faith. I will try to do it again for others out there. The only game I lost, of course, and I explained myself very well, didn't I, Isaac? I said, the way things have been going lately, Iowa folks, you want me to pick Minnesota, and I did, and look what happened. There you go. Got the other five right. All right, John, congratulations. 3:34, we will take a break. Come back and wrap up Iowa, Minnesota talk. Talk Iowa State, Arkansas State, Big Ten, and Big 12, and the NFL when we return here on a Monday edition of the Gym Class right here on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And we'll have plenty of sunshine today. Temperatures will be in the low 70s and humidity will be nice and low and comfortable. As we head into tonight, some clouds are going to be building in. Temperatures drop into the low 50s. Then tomorrow, mix of sun and clouds. Temperatures in the low 70s, low humidity, but there may be enough moisture for a few sprinkles or light showers. As we head into Wednesday and Thursday, we'll have plenty of sunshine with temperatures in the mid to upper 70s. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Don't tell them, but we love that guy. And these people say that.
I think of my cell phone. There's not a big distinction there from family to customers.
Deary Ford in Iowa City.
I love working with the people.
That kind of relationship that goes deep.
When you hear those things, you think, okay, we're doing the right thing. We're doing it the right way.
We basically let you kind of walk us through the process, which is completely opposite of what a normal car dealership would do.
Deary Ford in Iowa City. See why people choose them over and over again. DearyFord.com.
Scott Unash for your neighborhood Quick Star. And ground beef on sale right now. Still on sale for the moment at $2.99 a pound. Not only be great for grilling out, but also as the weather gets a little bit cooler and fall is now officially with us, you got to start thinking about chili. And Kitchen Cravings ground beef, $2.99 a pound. It would be great for your chili recipes out there. And ground beef, so versatile, so affordable, and delicious protein to elevate your meals. Also, on sale right now, Nature's Touch Milk. One skim, 1% or 2%, the 1 gallon variety, $2.99. Please limit 4. And the Quickery Breakfast Sausage Links, 12 ounce, $2.49, limit 2. The Quickery Snack Pies, assorted varieties, 5 for $5 or $1.49 each, limit of 5. All that and more available at your neighborhood Quick Star.
How would you like to get free internet for the rest of the year? You heard that right. Switch to IMON by September 29th and your first 3 months of internet service will be completely free. That means you'll have no service payments until 2025. Don't wait. This offer ends on September 29th. Visit go.imon.net/radio or call 319-200-6355 to get free internet for the rest of the year.
New residential customers only. Other conditions apply.
Hey, football fans, with BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Are you ready to unleash the beast?
Monster Energy is here to give you the edge this college tailgate season. Loaded with bold flavors, our powerful blend gives you the energy you need to push you beyond your limits. Tune in all season long with Monster, the energy drink of ESPN Radio College Football Tour. Power your performance with a drink that's as hungry for victory as you are. Crack open an ice-cold Monster and dominate your competition. Monster Energy, unleash the beast. Grab yours today.
Welcome back. Monday edition of the Gym Class at 3:38. Spencer on Sports is coming your way next. That will be from 4 until 6, getting you ready for Monday Night Football. There are actually two football games in the National Football League coming up tonight. We will have the game between the Washington Commanders and the Cincinnati Bengals this evening, 6:30 from Westwood One, with that kickoff time, or excuse me, pregame time, and the kickoff about 7:15 coming up this evening. Next 2 weeks, there will be two Monday Night Football games for you. Not exactly sure who we will have next week, but we will let you know about it as it becomes closer. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Isaac with you here as we take you through a Monday edition of the Gym Class. Justin says, yes, running the football can win games. Even at the pro level, it is a huge part of the game if you can do it. Absolutely. Absolutely. And Hawkeyes did it. Now they face the Ohio State Buckeyes. Got a couple of weeks to prepare, Mark, but it is going to be a Herculean task, no doubt about it. Iowa has done it before in Iowa City. I've done it before in Columbus, but it's been a long, long time since they've done it over the horseshoe.
Yeah, I was going to have to play a darn near perfect game, I would think. And Ohio State has very few warts. It's littered with stars, outstanding running backs, good quarterback in Will Howard, strong defense, which wasn't real good early against Marshall, but turned it on throughout the game. So this is a tall task, to be sure.
Meanwhile, at 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, I just can't get over saying that. I love saying that. The Iowa State Cyclones completely dismantled the Arkansas State Red Wolves to a tune of 52-7. Yes, Iowa State was a 3-touchdown favorite in this game. I thought Iowa State was going to roll in this one, Mark. I did not believe Iowa State was going to roll to the tune of 45-0 before Arkansas State could get off the mat and even get a score on the board. But offensively, that was just about as good a game as you can conduct if you were the Iowa State Cyclones. And we'll talk to Rob Gray coming up on Thursday from the Gazette and from CycloneFanatic.com. Just under 500 yards, and you talk balance with 237 rushing yards and 253 passing yards. That was the game that Matt Campbell has had problems with, that tweener game after Iowa and before the Big 12 schedule, Mark. No problems this year.
No, and I think Arkansas State left a lot probably in its previous game in Ann Arbor against Michigan, because Arkansas State is not a bad football team on the not the power four level, but the thing that struck me was Iowa State's balance, and you nailed it with almost equal rushing and passing. Got a glimpse of some very young players who we don't know if they're going to be around the whole year, but one of the things is, what's happened to J.J. Cole? Really decorated quarterback coming in, battled with Rocco Beck before Beck wrestled the job away. And now he appears to be number three as Connor Moberly entered that game. I thought, Matt Campbell just put Moberly on the field late in the game just to get in some experience. But it seems like Moberly has taken over the number two quarterback position. And finally, hats off to Campbell for tying Dan McCarney as the winningest coach in Iowa State history. And McCarney, you'll remember, Scott, and many will, that McCarney's era was, kind of a breakthrough for Iowa State after, that you'd have to go back to Johnny Majors and Earl Bruce for sustained success at Iowa State. And McCarney did that in spades. And now Campbell is right there with him, if not surpassing him.
I would agree. And, and you could talk about Dan McCarney. Dan's remembered and revered very much in Ames and should be. Nationally, I think Dan would have gotten many more kudos if they were on the doorstep of making Big 12 championship game appearances several times and just could not kick that door in. And if they did get to that Big 12 championship game at least once, if not more than once, I think the nation would know even more the name Dan McCarney. But they also learned about Carson Hansen, the sophomore out of the state of Minnesota. He had a terrific game with 9 carries for 58 yards. He had a couple of touchdowns. Jackson, a senior who has not seen a lot of playing time, he also had a very productive game. Abu Sama was, it was kind of a pedestrian game, but they didn't need him, really. They just went to a running back by committee, and Iowa State basically ran the ball. Now, Rocco Beck still threw for 2 touchdowns. You mentioned the fact that Connor Moberly came in once again, got significant playing time, did all right, ended up 5 of 7 in the ball game. And I think the thing that may have put him ahead of J.J. Cole is the fact that he is very mobile. J.J. Cole, a more of a pocket passer, a drop back passer. And to me, Mark, you mentioned at the beginning of the season when Iowa State won that first game, Moberly came in, and you said, well, J.J. Cole got in last year. Maybe it's just Moberly to get in. And we'll ask this of Rob Gray coming up on Thursday and talk about it some more. But right now, you got to say that Connor Moberly is ahead of J.J. Cole. And what the future in Ames brings for J.J. Cole, I think, I got to believe is up in the air right now.
You would think so, but that was kind of a sidelight. I guess when I brought it up and you underscored the point, this is an excellent performance by Iowa State. And now the conference season begins in earnest on the road at Houston. We'll talk about that game as the week progresses. And, you know, Houston has, you know, they played Oklahoma really tough a couple games ago, but then got blown out by Cincinnati. So you don't know exactly what you're getting from Houston. And Iowa State's a couple touchdown road favorites. So you got to say right now, Iowa State, 18th in the country, is a contender in this league. And Utah was very impressive against Oklahoma State. And Iowa State has to go to Utah for that game. A lot of things you know, may transpire between now and then, but Iowa State's right there, I think, to have a say in the title chase.
Couple of texts before I add on to that. Iowa State was even better due to their ability to have success with their backups, says 6441. I agree. Iowa State backups looked just as good as the frontliners and were moving the ball. Arkansas State could not stop them either. And 85-82 with a very good point. Keep Abu use light early so he's good to go in November. And I couldn't agree with that anymore. You sugarcoated it, Mark. Houston's awful. Awful. Now, it's a road game. It is a night game coming up on Saturday night. That is a 4 o'clock pregame on Saturday right here on 1600 ESPN, just past 6 o'clock with the kickoff. Houston was shut out by a not-great Cincinnati team on the road on Saturday. And then you mentioned the Iowa State-Baylor game is going to be a night game as well on Saturday night, the 5th of October. That will be a 6:30 kickoff. And Iowa State helped by the fact that not only, I mean, Utah was the pick going in to win the Big 12. We know that. Oklahoma State now has a loss. If you watched late night Saturday night, BYU and Kansas State, I am not sure how Kansas State is even in the top 25 still. BYU took them apart pretty much and trucked them. BYU undefeated. That's a good football team, Mark.
Yes, and I don't think Iowa State plays BYU.
They do not.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was a surprising result. Kansas State picked to maybe by some to maybe win the league. And Kansas, both Kansases have been somewhat disappointing to this point, but I think Kansas State still might have a say in things. They have another tough game this week coming up.
Oklahoma State, Kansas State play.
Yeah, so that may be an elimination game there.
Could be. In fact, that's the we'll have that game for you coming up early, 10:30 in the morning on Saturday. Since the Iowa State game isn't until 4 o'clock, we will have Kansas State and Oklahoma State for you. And yeah, I think that's an elimination game already. And we are not even to the month of October as of yet, because a loser of that game is going to have two conference losses already. Now, you can't get too far ahead of yourself if you're an Iowa State Cyclone fan. But, boy, you got to like how this schedule plays out. That game at West Virginia and Morgantown is going to be tricky. And UCF can put some points on the board. But that game is in Ames. And you, if you are optimistic, you could possibly see with the win in Morgantown and a win at Arrowhead against Kansas, who, as you alluded to, has not been off to a good start this year. I mean, you could make a case for a 10-0 Iowa State team going taking on Utah.
Wouldn't that be something? And while it's possible, you know, Iowa State's going to have to play steady football, and I think it's capable of that because of the leadership and all the returning starters from last year, and they're going to get some guys back as well, I think, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So it's going to be a really interesting stretch, and we can't get too far ahead of ourselves because we know what happens in college football, right, Mac Brown?
James Madison scored again, I think. I shouldn't.